And Michael Horn with us as we talk about the work of Billy Meier and Michael's new work, of course, When Truth Prevails. Some of you who do not have computers, I'll ask Michael how you might be able to watch this DVD. So we'll do that for you, and we'll take calls when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Michael Horn, as we talk about the Billy Meier case, of course, and Michael's new work, When Truth Prevails. Michael, Gina's getting some calls from folks who don't have computers, and they're wondering how they can get the DVD. Can you help them out?
Yeah, we haven't run them yet as DVDs, but if these people will just send me an email, you know, which my email address, I mean, I can give it, but it's on my website. Send me an email so we can be in touch, and then I'll, as soon as I've got them in a DVD format, I will be delighted to, you know.
Okay, but they don't have a computer to send you an email.
Oh, George, I told you, I'm no light owl, night owl.
We got it. You have a toll-free number by any chance?
I've got Skype, you know.
That's computer driven again.
Yeah, gosh, I'm telling you, George. If you didn't think I really, you know, had my wits about me, daytime is great for me. Other than that, I don't have a toll free number. I can give them a 310 number that they can call. If they're up for that, I do take calls. I won't be taking them tonight after the show.
All right, let's give the number out at the end of the show, okay?
Okay. Hey, can I quick throw something at you? Because during the break, I found something.
As long as it's not heavy.
It's real.
That's a joke.
Okay.
You said you want to throw something at me. You really are. You're not awake yet, are you?
No, I don't. You know, I was up. I don't know. I'm up at 6 or whatever, and you know, I'm just useless right now.
But you get it now, George? Can I throw something at you? Sure, as long as it's not heavy.
Now I got it.
That's funny.
It is funny, George. I'm going to rewind my brain. There we go. Hi, I'm back.
There we go. Our guest is Michael Horn tonight. There we go.
Right. All right. So in that document from 1987. For the benefit of the skeptics, I'll say the alleged extraterrestrial Quetzal says to Meier in response to his optimism, he says, "You apparently never give up hope. Your optimism is honorable and deserves to be heard by human beings, but the way things have developed throughout the century, there's not too much hope that human beings of Earth will come to their senses and heed your words." Now, here's the payoff. This will then be the case only when the prophecies prove to be true, or even worse, have already come to pass. Probably only then will the time come when the defamations against you will end in regard to your contacts with us, although they will long continue to be vehemently disputed by your enemies as well as by pathological know-it-alls and critics who dismiss them as swindle, lies, and fraud. The full truth about our contacts with you will be proven in the distant future, and then mankind will accept our help we offer through you, even when they erroneously assume we come from the seven star system known to the human beings of Earth as the Pleiades. Then mankind will accept our help we offer through you. Distant future. Well, this is 1987. We're 2015. So in my optimistic way of looking at things, I say to George Norrie, "George Norrie, you know Michio Kaku, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Shostak, all these people. If you are going to, you know, have my stuff on the Meier case accessible to these people, if you want to invite them to look, I will go anywhere. I will bring the presentations I do at university. I will do anything for them to look, because the stakes here are high. The stakes are
high." I agree.
You know, he didn't pop up overnight. This is three quarters. We're just shy of three quarters of a century of this man, this boy to man, bringing this stuff out. And the rest of the Tanakh prophecy, I don't want to read over the air, because if we don't change, if we don't take responsibility, if we don't have leaders, people who will step forward and say, "Okay, we've got an opportunity here to change this, rewrite this future history," is the way I put it. So that's what I want to say about it, and I'm delighted that you will, you know, host this and make this information available.
Oh, absolutely. Does Billy speak English at all?
Yes, he can speak English, but he doesn't like it. He doesn't speak it fluently. And his point of view is that English does not convey what he can convey in German because of the complexity of the German language.
Would he ever come on the show with you for a little bit?
He won't come on shows. He, as I say, he's recovering from a heart valve operation,
right?
Bruised ribs and the rest, and he doesn't do interviews in Europe. He doesn't go anywhere. He doesn't do interviews. His attitude is, here is what my mission is, to bring this information forward, and those who are interested now must take the responsibility themselves to do with it what they will. The stuff we found in the prophet, Billy didn't tell us about this stuff. Stuff we've dug up on scientific stuff, he'd never pointed to it. Even the photograph of the craft hovering over a road, 32 years later, he never said anything until people found it for themselves. So this, it's like if people want to say, hey, wait a minute, I want to take control of my life, and I don't want this country going down the tubes. You know, you've got a broad audience, and for people in other countries who are threatened with these things, these prophecies encompass virtually every place on earth. It's relevant to all of us.
And he doesn't care whether somebody believes him or not, does he?
Never has cared.
No, he doesn't bother.
He also knows that his role in life is going to be that most people won't believe it. They won't, you know, that's a funny word. They won't even test it out to determine whether it's so or not. They will dismiss it, like it says in here, you know, the know-it-alls. The skeptics, you probably know there's whole boards full of skeptics that do nothing but make cynical, nasty comments and try to poke holes in his evidence. But none of them will come forward and contest the new analyses, three separate photo analyses. These are large objects. This man it can't fool our 21st century technology in 1981, let alone 64 or 75.
All right, let's go to the calls for you. They're lining up, Michael. We'll pick it up by going to Vincent in Concho, Arizona, west of the Rockies. Vincent, thanks for calling. You're on the air with us. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, George and Michael. I'm kind of wondering if I'm by a wormhole here in this location. I've seen quite a few different situations going on in the 22 years that I've lived here. Has anyone ever reported anything like thousands of UFOs at one time? I was out on a back porch here in an evening. It was a cloudy night, but there was this gap. The clouds weren't moving, right. And I sit for 45 minutes and watch a dual flights of 23 and 27 UFOs. They were kind of like stars.
Jeez.
Right. In separation.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Vincent, let me just say this. I've had seven or eight UFO sightings, only one of which I would, because I was within 20 feet of it, it was a little play iron monitoring craft. The rest of it, I don't know. And it isn't important to us anymore. In other words, my perspective is it isn't important anymore. There's stuff in the sky. Most of it's probably secret military. Even if the rest of it is from some other world, it's not going to get the job done that we need to take care of here on Earth. If there are extraterrestrials and they have come and they actually made contact with someone on Earth, there's got to be a reason. I think at this point, fair-minded people will say, the Meyer case is authentic. There's a reason. They'd like us to get out of the pit we're in, and they can't do it for it.
I've had sightings of two in my life. I don't know what they were. They made 90-degree turns. It was very, very weird.
I should throw a thought at you on that, George. I interviewed a guy, the video's on my YouTube channel. His name is Joe. He was a master sergeant sniper. He worked weapons development, had an above top secret clearance. He was underneath those things at the military bases. He said, what the heck is that? The guy said, it looks a drone. He said, no, I know drones. Drones do not make these 90-degree turns. He said, well, just keep your mouth shut. It's secret military. 90-odd% of it is secret military. It's fascinating. I mean, look, we've seen stealth planes, you know, fly around, and they have stuff that's way beyond that. And as I said to, was it Vincent? You know, at this point, we're beyond that. We could be sitting around watching light shows, and there's folks coming to do harm. So what do we put our attention on? How do we avoid that which is still avoidable?
We're going to my doppelganger, George in St. Louis. Hi, George, go ahead.
Good morning, George. Morning, Michael.
Hi.
Good morning. I actually have two quick questions. One is, if you travel faster than the speed of light, aren't you actually traveling into the future? And the second question, man doesn't create anything. He doesn't innovate anything, but he just copies from, say, something a superior race may have handed down to him.
Okay, I can get, George, do you want me to throw off responses to those two, or did
sure.
you have another one?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can listen offline.
Okay, thanks, George. Go ahead.
It's interesting that he raised those two points, because just the other day I was reading something, and I didn't, you know, get into it really deeply where I could give it all, but they explained time travel. There's something to do with chronons, whereby at a certain point they turn into tachyons, and depending on some type of alteration, some takes you into the future, and then another application of it. I mean, if I looked it up, I could read it, but at this point, people might have other questions. But they explained a little bit about the time travel thing and how it works. Just going above light speed doesn't necessarily take you into the future. Not that I can do much with that. The other thing, as I say, I'm a little foggy here, but the other question he just asked had to do with, oh, gosh, George.
Well, the extraterrestrial presence and...
Okay, well, yeah, this, according to the Meyer material, there is no extraterrestrial presence on Earth. There's no reason why highly advanced space travelers, long-lived, highly technologically developed, and in their consciousness, are going to come into a scene, this world, where the conflicts are raging and intensifying, and we have these polarizations of religions, cultures, politics. We have to get through this so that we can unify ourselves sufficiently to be able to deal as equals with more beings who are now more advanced than we are. It's fascinating for us. We can get ourselves involved in these things, but they're saying, look, aliens aren't abducting you folks. And even Joe said, you know, we had ranger teams. We could go into a neighborhood at night, pump gas under someone's door, come in, you know, mess with them, whatever. They think they've been abducted by aliens. He said, so this is where the Meyer case, you know, people, oh, no, I know for sure I've been abducted by... When was the last time the president called you up? You know, a Supreme Court justice, a senator, the governor of your state, the mayor, or the dog catcher, but you want to believe that advanced beings from outer space are floating you through the walls with, you know, and you... It isn't logical, but things have happened to people, and people have traumas that come from all sorts of reasons, but we come back down to, we are here, it's now, and we've got to, if we want to, take the information that's meant to guide us out of this with our application. No one can do it for us. We've got to come together to do that. All the rest of the stuff, the eye candy, Meyer's got the best eye candy in the world, but that's not what it's about.
Michael, have you ever seen Billy or heard of Billy being scared about something?
No. He does seem to have nerves of steel. That's the only way I can put it. I mean,
he'd have
to yell at somebody. Yeah, I mean, I saw him yelling ferociously at somebody one day in German, and I didn't realize the guy was in the tree doing some work on the property with a chainsaw. And then a guy translated, he says he's trying to get his attention so that he doesn't cut the branch because the chain's around his ankle and he's going to go falling down the gut. It was just bizarre.
He's trying to save the guy up in the tree, huh?
Yeah. Screaming at him, like, I thought, what did this poor guy do? You know, and he said, no, he doesn't want him to go, you know, land on his head down there in a gully. So, you know, he's just a person. He really is just like about the most grounded person you'll meet. Very, you know, kind of balanced kind of thing. You feel friendly with him, and it doesn't try and impress you with anything. Wears blue jeans and...
Is he shy?
No, he's present. It's just like, he's the kind of like, the first time I ever met him, I felt like I'd known him, or he knew me. It was really weird. I'm talking to him, and at the same time, I'm going, gosh, I feel like this guy knows me. He's just so non-defensive. I don't have to try and impress him with anything. He's listening to what I'm saying to him. Good gosh. It was just... It was very disarming, no pun intended. It was very disarming because here's a guy with, like it or not, you know, all sorts of reputations swirling around him. He's just a person. So he only has one voice in his community, all the stuff that they do, he has a group that works around, people say, it's a cult. I'm going, oh my gosh, it's the farthest thing from a cult I've ever seen. You don't have to join it. No, you can't, for the most part, join his group because they're working on a project to disseminate his stuff. They don't come knocking on your door. No one's soliciting you for money. He's not to be bowed down to. He has one vote. If he gets outvoted on something, he's outvoted. But he's the guy that they talk to.
Is he well-known in Switzerland?
Here and there. Some people know nothing about him. Some people think he's crazy. Other people, like there are military people that come to him to consult with him about stuff. Once I was there and we were talking, he says, I have to go now because one of the military people is coming. He's got, I forget what the question was about. He wanted to discuss with him. And Billy's open to that. He will talk to the people in the community. He's very happy. One skeptic who accidentally took photos of the ET craft, he and his wife had been defaming Meyer, and then he wrote him. He said, here are some photos I accidentally took. I owe you an apology. May I come and deliver it in person? This is, yeah, come on down. We'll sit and talk. So he's kind of like just a normal human being, with whatever that may mean to people, with some otherworldly experiences, all intended to help us help ourselves here so that we don't destroy ourselves. And it doesn't take an ET now to know that we're in trouble, or a prophet for that matter.
All right, let's go back to the calls. Let's go to Randy, truck driving somewhere across Texas. Hi, Randy, go ahead.
Yes, morning, George. Morning, Mike.
Morning.
Hi. My question is, do we have to go through what ISIS is doing? Does the planet have to go through it like Billy's arm being cut off? Is it cut into stone, or can we change this?
I don't know if you caught it in the beginning, Randy, but all this stuff's on my website, and, if you are on computer or anything, you write me if you can't find, but we have a whole thing there where he said, unless the world comes together, it's like with the prophecies, it's like these things happen. If you don't act, you get this.
Well, the world will come together. That's my prediction, Michael. I know it will.
We all have to hope so, because you have to take this out. Otherwise, it also emboldens the sleeper cells and the rest of the cells. Let's be honest about what we're talking about here. There's stuff in these prophecies that address America very specifically. Look, in 87, he says, after the destruction of the WTC, the World Trade Center, by terrorists. I mean, that's in the document. So we can argue and we can say, I don't believe. This is where we are. And it's better if people say, I'm going to read that for myself. You don't tell me what to believe, please. And if I don't, if I don't think it's true, I'm not. Great. That's why I want it to be in a university. Here, folks, here's this information. You're not going to hear it anywhere else.
Well, like I said, we'll put it out for you on Coast to Coast. And we're going to come back in a moment with you, Michael, and take final phone calls here with Michael Horn right here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, we have the privilege, of course, of chatting with Michael Horn about Billy Meyer and, of course, talking about his latest film, When Truth Prevails. We'll be back with Michael in a moment. We'll take final phone calls. And welcome back. We're back with your phone calls, and we're back with Michael Horn. And, Michael, great work, by the way. What drives you with this? You don't give up. You've been doing it for a long time. How come?
It just resonates with me. I just perceive that, especially after having met Meyer, known him for 16 years, his family, the people around him, I get that this is a sincere, genuine, authentic gift to humanity. I don't know how else to put it, and that we could benefit so much if we choose to, and if we can have people with a little influence here and there who are willing to look, who are willing to not be so worried about their funding, their tenure, their seeming, credibility and stuff, and want to know how they, too, can participate in helping humanity survive, evolve. I don't want to sound so silly and preachy, but it's the most important stuff. I've got plenty of other things I could do in my life. I mean, I invent, I paint, I write music, all this stuff, but this is it. This is something that brings, the hope of peace and love and harmony and freedom and coming through this rather difficult time in a positive way.
Okay, now we go to Jim in Aurora, Illinois, to get this show underway here. Jim, go ahead, sir.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Very, very quickly, I want to say we have seen throughout history so many times where people have come up with ideas and they were thought to be crazy and only to find out that they're right. My analogy for what the problem is in our society, we're distracted by so many things, but I believe that we keep hitting, if I may, the snooze alarm to our future. And my fear is really that if and when we wake up, we may find we have missed our appointment with saving this world. And my question is, how do we get the word out, this information out, to the powers that truly have a say that can affect things to avoid our ultimate demise? Or do you believe that maybe that's a part of their grand plan? I'm just so thankful for your guest, and really our existence is crucial. The rest of the world just tries to live each day, one day at a time, without all the distractions that we have here. And if we're such a great society, we should be able to come together. But I think we are hitting the snooze alarm over and over again. And I thank you so much for you.
And Jim, let me ask you this, because you seem to have your finger on the pulse here. You're spot on. Do you think we can beat all of this that's going on right now? I mean, it's out of control.
My fear, George, is if we don't wake up and realize that this is more than, you know, the next movie, the next toy, the next car, whatever it is, I'm afraid that the folks in this country, our society, we've got so many distractions. People are only worried about what their concern is for themselves for tomorrow, and not the greater good of mankind. And it may sound a little grandiose, but, you know, I happened to wake up just before this all started, about 45 minutes ago, and it scared the living daylights out of me. I absolutely believe in the message that's being delivered here, and people need to get up. The alarm has gone off too many times. We're going to sleep through the solution.
You're right. Great phone call. And Michael, what Jim wants to know, he wants to know if we can basically beat this, or are we asleep at the wheel?
Well, it's a little of both. I keep going because I believe we can beat it, but we have to be a we. It can't be just, you know, one person here or there, and we can't give up. So this is up to us. There are stepwise ways of going through this. It isn't just a rah-rah-rah kind of a football game kind of a thing. We have to be able to see what the situation actually is. We have to recognize what we have to do to turn it around, and we have to take those what may seem to be small steps in the right direction. And we can't cover it all. I know, you know, in our phone call and our visit now, but this is why I have a website. This is why I point people to free information and help them network with other people that, you know, want to know and progress. I just feel that if this response, such as I've just heard from that gentleman, is actually typical of what's in the hearts and minds of a lot of people, I'd be more hopeful, because he seems to get it.
Yeah, he does get it. And gosh, you get it. You've done this. How old were you when you started this crusade?
It's half a lifetime ago. I was 36, so I'm 72 now.
Wow! You don't sound 72. Good for you.
But because I'm dopey, I can't even think straight.
I'll keep pushing you. Don't worry. You only got about 15 minutes left.
I love it. It's all night.
Let's go to Anthony in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Anthony, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, George, Michael. It's great. It's a great show. Hey, listen, I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona, and I've seen a lot in my time, enough to really believe in this kind of stuff. But my question, you know, we're talking about the collective conscious and how it's, you know, we all wish it would catch up quicker, and it is accelerating. And what really makes this interesting is that, is it going to be close? It's going to be close, is what I'm saying. And, you know, my question to Michael is, do you think that this collective conscious is going to catch up quick enough for us to get on top of this and do something about it? Because we all know it's going to be close, but that really is what makes it interesting.
Well, yeah, Anthony, let me tell you, as you were talking about it, I flashed back on something I said before to George, And I would reiterate it, because George is in the position himself. He also knows people who are prominent, reasonable, logical, you know, respectable people, quote unquote. You know, they're not viewed as UFO kooks or anything like that. People like, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Michio Kaku, Seth Shostak with SETI. If George takes this piece and in a neutral way and says, you know, gentlemen, I think we should look at this. There's a lot at stake here. The worst thing we're going to find out is that somebody's been perpetrating a 73-year-long impenetrable hoax. And what we might actually find out is that actually all the things we've pondered about other life and all, there's validity to it, and actually it exists, and it would like us to survive. So how do we get you credible people to at least look through the telescope, and if you recognize, if you think there's something valid here, you spread it. You take another link to other people so they can come forward. I can tell you now, there, I know another prominent news person who knows this is real, but he can't come forward right now. He needs the support of people like George, the scientists, to just sober up and say, okay, let's look. Let's stop ignoring all this stuff and pretending it's all, you know, nonsense. And this is how we've got to draw people in who can help and who are willing to help.
Are there forces out there within government, in your opinion, Michael, that just want to stop this?
Oh, you mean the Meyer case thing?
Everything, yeah, because it's just, sure. I mean, somebody's behind 22 possible assassination attempts. Jeez.
You know, it's funny. I was just staring at something from 1953 in the Meyer material, and it goes like this. At the time of Khrushchev, a new president will be nominated in America by the name of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, however, to be murdered in the year 1963, according to secret orders of different groups, and with the American Security Service, the CIA, having warning information. The day of his death will be November 22nd, 1963 in Dallas, Texas. A second political murder will follow this first one only barely 5 years later, because a new presidential candidate will likewise be killed by the same contracting entity.
That was his brother.
Yes. And this case is so full of information. Good guy. You know,
that says it all.
Freely. So certainly we know that human life is full of intrigue and dark and light. But those of us that look, Meyer in 58 predicted that unless people step up now and stand up and refuse it, the EU, which didn't exist in 58, and the U.S. will biochip every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth unless people wake up. Meyer published the information about NSA, Microsoft backdoor into your computer 2 years before Snowden did.
Let's go to Kirk in Brooklyn for you. First time caller now. Hey, Kirk, go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Morning. Long time listener. I think you just may have answered my question, but I'm going to ask it again.
Sure.
Mr. Myers, I was going to ask, was his work, all his predictions and prophecies, published on or around the time that he made them?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Were the prophecies of Billy Meyer published when he made them or years later?
Well, the first publication generally is right around the time that he wrote it. He's the first person to warn of climate change and increased environmental destruction when he was 14 in 1951. One of his school teachers helped him send a letter around the world. In 58, all the stuff that we're talking about that he foresaw, that was also sent around. But this is the era back then of letters and typewriters and stamps and documents that have long gone to dust in many cases. So some skeptics say, well, he didn't really write those things. But as I said in the beginning, I don't know if you caught the beginning of the show, I think it's Vincent, but I already had it back 10 years ago. I had the information that I put in the DVD. You can download it. You know, it says, and you know, radical Islam is going to attack France and Europe.
Jeez.
But I was drawing it from these published documents, which were available prior to these events.
Okay, that answers it. I mean, so his incredible predictions and prophecy were published or available before they happened.
And some of it
It's true. Some of it we don't have copyrights on, but we have enough of it where they're actually in copyrighted books published by Wendell Stevens. There's astounding stuff like that. So people will have to struggle with it. Is it convincing enough to them or not? I can only say, you know, we make it available. That's it, and most of it for free.
Michael, and when we say that you're the authorized American media rep for the Billy Meier contacts, is that his company, Billy Meier Contacts?
No. When I started to go to Switzerland in 2000, and right around 2003-04, I said, you know, I already go out in the world and I make these presentations, and I'd like to do it officially for you, meaning that we have a contractual agreement. I will represent your information as you want it represented, as you publish it. And I will reserve the right to say I don't know or I disagree, and you won't pay me and I won't pay you, because people are going to accuse me of being in it for money anyhow. So let's make sure officially we keep it clean. They said fine. So now I'm in the second 7-year, you know, agreement. So I call it the Billy, you know, they've referred to it as a context too, or the Billy Meier context, UFO context. So I said, I will be your authorized American media representative for the Billy Meier context. And they said, fine. So I've had the opportunity, of course, to lecture in England and Australia and Hong Kong and, you know, in other English speaking countries and in Amsterdam, Netherlands. So wherever they will have me come, and if I can, I don't speak the foreign languages well enough to do it in Italian or German, but wherever English is available, I would do that. And now, of course, we have DVDs and the rest of this stuff.
We have Ethan in Minneapolis now. Ethan, my friend, go ahead.
Hi. Howdy. Well, just a quick note. I hope I get this in, but like two things. It's kind of a suggestion. And of course, and I became a little bit of a prophet after listening to Coast to Coast. Thank God for you
good
guys.
For you.
Appreciate that. But so, a suggestion would be like having a suggestion board or an action board where people could kind of come together in a way of, and how we ask this question to every single person listening that we need to.
All right, I'll pass that on to Lex for you. And I think we lost him for a moment there, but that's all right. We've got about a minute left.
And
I want
that.
You to get your information out, Michael. Once again, where people can read and get your works.
Sure. Thank you. You know, my website is theyfly.com. I have a blog, international, you know, participation. People are welcome. I have places you can buy stuff if you want, like, you know, deals on the DVDs and all that, and you can download things. But we have so much free information. Everything in terms of the prophecies is available. I will be working with, at George's invitation, to make it available also for Coast to Coast. And I hope that we'll be able to get some of the, you know, good, sturdy, solid people who've come on George's show over the years to want to participate in an evaluation. We can actually make more of a dent in this world if we do come together. It was a great suggestion that gentleman just had. So,
all right, Michael, my friend, thank you for being on the program. Appreciate it. We'll have Tommy call you at the possible Beyond Belief show as well. We'd love to have you on. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Gina Salvati, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lattisor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borles, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.